We've been in a series on Colossians, and this morning is part four. We're speaking about Jesus the Creator this morning. Paul writes this letter from Rome, and I've been hitting the synopsis of the background over these last several weeks, and let me just do this a bit again. Probably while he was in Ephesus teaching, a man named Epaphras, and you also have heard of the man Philemon and Epaphras probably were friends who got saved under Paul's ministry in Ephesus. Epaphras and probably Philemon as well returned home to the valley where you'll find, Pat, if you could put up a map, I've given you two of them. I'll have you do one and then the other. Vern, if you could grab the lights, please. You'll find that you have three cities together. Pat, if you can see Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. You see it there, everyone? So right down here in this area is where we're talking. And so Epaphras, Ephesus is 100 miles to the west, and so he returns home from having heard the gospel and plants the gospel and churches in this area where it was his home valley, if you will. Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. Remember last week we spoke of the church of Laodicea. Remember one of the churches in the book of Revelation. And Jesus speaks of this church without any commendation. He speaks of this church saying, you are, remember, lukewarm. And Laodicea was in an area where they were fabulously wealthy. They were the banking center of this whole part of the country. When a great earthquake happened and Rome was involved, these were all Roman territories by then, Rome was involved in reestablishing and rebuilding those. Laodicea said, no thanks, we got this. And rebuilt the city themselves based on their own wealth and their banking center. They also had sheep that produced this glorious, glossy black wool, renowned black wool, that was really a claim to fame. So they were the banking center, they had the black wool, and thirdly, they were a great medical center, and they produced a substance that was like a substance that would be smeared on people's body parts or eyes especially, an eye salve for healing of the eyes. And if you recall, Jesus spoke straight to their heart. They knew exactly what he was saying in this church because he says, you need to buy from me garments that are white and pure. There's no way they had white garments, and I'll tell you the other reason in a moment. He says, you need to get true riches. Not all the banking center riches that you have. You need true riches in me. And then the third thing he said, how many remember what it was? You need to buy eye salve from me, the Spirit's ability for you to be able to see. How many pray, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see you and your word? And that's what they needed. And this church clearly passed off of the scene that was there at that time. But the other major thing that was happening, they were 5 miles from Hierapolis and 5 miles from Colossae. And they had no water supply. And if you recall in history, they have discovered the clay pottery or piping, if you will, that came 5 miles from Hierapolis. Hierapolis was a great hot springs, medicinal purposes. People would soak in the hot springs and feel better, and they would pipe the hot water to Laodicea. And in Colossae, where there were mountains and snow and refreshing rivers that would flow, they piped cold water to Laodicea. And if you recall, Jesus says to these people, I want to spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or cold. He doesn't mean what sometimes people say, he'd rather have you be dead to him or hot to him. That is not what that means. Jesus said, I would that you were burning hot so you could bring medicine and healing and life to people for their bones and really minister life to them, or that your life was as pure as rivers that run with cool, refreshing streams to bring life and vibrancy and health to people that way. I would you were hot or you were cold. But can you imagine what that water became like by the time it got 5 miles over to Laodicea? What do you think it was like? It was lukewarm. It was devastating. It was terrible. It was putrid. They would spit it out of their mouth. And Jesus says to them, right where their understanding is, I want to spew you out of my mouth because what's coming out of you makes me nauseated. You think you're great. but you really desperately need me. And the spirit of the region was such that what they were fighting with in Colossae was a false teaching that would cause their fire to go out. How many of you believe that what you believe is crucial in your walk with the Lord? All right, let's go to the next one, Pat, and you'll just see it again in a different way. There are these three communities together. Vern, if you'll flip those on. Thank you, and I appreciate it very much. What were they fighting with? What would cause their fire in the Lord to go out? They were fighting with Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was like a secret knowledge. The body and physical things were evil, so surely God couldn't have invented, or created rather, anything on this natural plane. And you have to have a secret set of knowledge in order to be right with God. They were fighting with Arianism. Arianism. And that was the teaching that said Jesus was created. He was a creation. They were fighting with what was taught by a man named Socinus, who came later, but basically the bottom line teaching was what they were fighting with. Jesus isn't God, and man is not needing a Savior. He doesn't have a sin nature. And so that's the foundational teaching that leads to Unitarianism and leads to Jehovah's Witnesses teaching. How many of you know that man is born with a sin nature and we need a Savior? How many know that? Thank God for the Savior who is Jesus. Then I also talked last week about, I called it demiurge, and that's a wrong pronunciation. It's demiurge. Okay, say it with me. Demiurge. God creates a creature who created a creature who created a creature, and all of these emanations come from God until finally creation takes place. No. The scripture tells us another Greek word I have up there about Jesus. He wasn't a creation. He wasn't created, but instead he was the prototokos. Say that with me, please. The prototokos. The prototype. Proto. First. Before all creation. And when the Bible talks about him being first begotten of the Father, it doesn't mean he was born first, created first. It means he is the first position, the preeminent. He's the preeminent one of all creation, of all those who go into heaven and someday have eternal life. Jesus is the prototokos, the prototokos. He is deity. He is the Son of God. Now, we laid a strong framework and foundation. We talked about drilling down into the truth because what you build your faith on matters. What you believe matters. What you are taught matters. That's why when we come to church, we want to be taught from the Bible, the Word of God. Now, do we have perfect understanding of the Bible? No, we don't. But we are doing our best to grow in our understanding, to apply it as best as we can to our life. And if we err in interpretation of the Bible, we want to err in such a way that brings us as close to Jesus as possible, not get as far away from Him and still be okay. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever know people that are there? Sure. I'll be fine. I can do this and still be fine with Jesus. I'd rather not have that wrestling match. I'd rather say, I don't have to worry about that. I'm just wanting to be close to Jesus. How about you? Turn to each other and say, let's be close to Jesus together. All right, let's go through a few scriptures together this morning. Again, we're going to drill down. We're going to talk about foundational teaching and understanding because it was crucial for Paul, who heard about the false teaching coming against Colossae, though he had never probably been there himself. As an apostolic father, he says, I want you to know what you believe because what you believe determines how you live. Remember, the Church of Jesus Christ was coming under fire and constant persecution. And if you don't know Jesus is the Son of God, if He's just one of many things, why would you give your life for someone like that? But they gave their life for Him because they knew He was the real deal and had given His life for them. Someone say amen. John 1:1-5. In the what? Come on, in the what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Come on, Pastor Kevin, you're just taking time with this stuff. Taking time with this stuff. I don't hesitate to put you in remembrance of these things, the apostle said. I feel the same way here in this church. I don't hesitate to put you in remembrance of the things that will make you strong in your foundation and give you life and godliness. That's what the Bible says the scripture is to do. John 1, 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh. Who was that? And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me. For He was before me. You understand what that's saying. John said, He's coming after me. I'm not worthy to tie His shoelaces. Jesus is the one who's coming next. Of His fullness, verse 16, we have all received, and grace for grace. Come on, say that with me. Grace for grace. Come on. Grace for grace. What do you need from the Lord this morning? Grace for grace. What do you need when you're in trouble? Grace for grace. When you're confused, grace for grace. When you're lost and you're not sure what the next steps are, we just simply need His grace for grace, His goodness, His love, His mercy. We just need Him. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So Jesus is the Word, always was, always is to come, and will be. He created all things, including you and me. He shows us. So regardless of what someone might have said to you, you are not an accident. Turn to each other and say, you're no accident. Jesus is the one who shows us the Father God, brings us grace, truth, His life. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Lord. In the generation, guys, in the generation following Jesus being here, are you aware that the whole known world heard the gospel of Jesus? The whole known world, and the church was established, and it was going, and there was truth being preached about Jesus. Why do you think all these false teachers rose up to fight it? Because the devil didn't like the truth going forth. They were doing their job in their generation. Guess what? That's what we get to do in ours. Amen? Well, Pastor Kevin, it's getting dark. It's getting hard. Is it? Yeah. It's getting hard. It's not as easy. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't perfectly easy for Jesus. It wasn't perfectly easy for the earliest ones. So it's not necessarily easy, but we have the answer for life. His name is Jesus. He is the Creator. Say that with me. He is the Creator. Now, you guys, when you study the book of Ephesians, Ephesians was about the glory of the church. Colossians is all about the glory that's due the head of the church, Jesus. Okay? That's what Colossians, its heart, is all about. Colossians 1, this morning, I want to read verses 12 through 17. 12 through 17, I'll be reading it from the New King James. He is the Creator. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Someone say amen. Amen. He has conveyed us. It's like He picked us up. That word is powerful. He picked us up, took us over, and put us where we belong. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Say, thank God I've been redeemed.
Thank God I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb. The forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him, and I want you to say the next two words, for him. Say it again, for him. He is before all things. In him all things consist. The only one who could take your sins and mine, the only one who could die, be buried, and rise again, the only one who ever has done that is Jesus, the Lord, the King, the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. No other leader of any religion ever been or ever shall be has ever done the work that Jesus Christ did. He saw you through the corridor of time. He saw me and he said, Father, I'll take their sin. And he went to the cross. He said, put it on me. Your sins and mine were put on Jesus. He died. He was buried. And he rose again from the dead. He ever lives to pray for you and me. Thank God only Jesus could do that work. Only Jesus could do that work. He conveys us to a new kingdom. He carries us up, picks us up out of the garbage we got ourselves into. You know, some people, did you ever have a brother and sister that you were in competition with as a little kid? Nah. Sorry you fell in that puddle. Oh, mom and dad are going to kill you when you get home. Yeah, you did it. Aren't you glad Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them, instead, you're on your own. You did that. Look what you get to look forward to. He didn't say that. He didn't say, nan. He said, I did it for you. We aren't destroyed by sin and Satan when we're redeemed by Jesus. We were all held captive by sin. And he destroyed the works of darkness. And he set us free. By the blood he shed for you and me. He shows us the Father. The love of the Father. Because of who he is. Because of what he's done. The Bible says he's preeminent in all things. He created everything. Church, the Bible tells us he spoke it by his word. And not only that, he not only spoke it into existence, he maintains it. Do you thank God for his grace this morning? You're still here. We're still here. Because Jesus says, let's not. Pull the plug yet. He can pull the plug anytime he wants, right? But he hasn't. He's maintaining us right now. But not only by him, through him, but for him. How many know Jesus did and put everything into place for his pleasure? That's what the Bible says. Look at each other and say, he's pleased to put you here. He's pleased to put you here. He's pleased to put you here. By grace. Revelation 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created out of the new living. For you created all things. They exist because you created what you pleased. 4:11 out of the message. You created it all. It was created because you wanted it. Okay, everybody awake here this morning? All right, let's do a little teaching here. What does this mean? The word created in the Greek is katizo. Katizo, it means proprietorship. Who's the proprietor of this establishment? Who's the manufacturer, the establisher of the business? Who fabricated, found, formed it originally? He created katizo. All things, now watch, all things included the angels that people were saying you need as intermediaries to get to God. And that's true. There are people today that still say you need to pray to angels or you need to pray to other people to carry your prayers to God. Jesus carries all prayers, receives them, and you pray in the name of Jesus. Thank God you got a direct connection with God because of Jesus. Someone say amen. And so Paul's coming against this Gnostic teaching, these other forms of teaching that say you need to pray to an angel, you need another intermediator. And Paul comes along and he says, not only do you not need the other intermediators, you need to understand Jesus created all those angels. Flew in the face of what people were trying to... Jesus isn't good enough. You need Jesus plus the others. And he's saying, Jesus not only is good enough, he created the others. heaven and earth, everything, heaven and earth, visible and invisible. That just about covers it, church. And watch, thrones. The Greek word is thronos. Stately seats, power, the potentate. Dominions. That word is koreotes, and it means those things that have mastery or rule. Principalities is archae, and it means commencement, chief, order, time, place, rank, powers. That is exousia in the Greek, and it's the ability, the privilege, the force, capacity, competency. See, all of these things, they're all dealing with the powers that you don't see but exist. Some say, and there are teachings on levels of dominions and hierarchies of all of these things, and there's other teachings that we don't have time to get into at this point, but the most important bottom line here, Jesus created them all. Say that with me. Jesus created them all. Number two, He is preeminent. Say it with me. He is preeminent. John 12, verse 32. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. Does that include you this morning?
Yes.
Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. The New International Version says, in all things He may have the supremacy. In New Living, it says that He may be first in everything. That's what it's all about. The Message, I love this. That He may be supreme in the end, towering far above everything and everyone. New American Standard, that He may have first place in everything. It means He's first, He's supreme, He's preeminent, He's not created or born. He is simply highest and in charge. That Greek word is proteuo, and it means, say it with me, to be what? First. Say it with me. To be first. Say it again. Jesus is first. Why am I laboring on this point? The problem is, in our day, the church is casual. Listen carefully. The church is casual. And because the church is casual about Jesus, a casual attitude about Jesus leads to being indifferent. Come on, say casual.
Casual.
Indifferent.
Indifferent.
If I'm casual toward Jesus, then I become indifferent toward Jesus. And when there is a casual, indifferent attitude that exists in the church about Jesus, the world looks on at the church and says, why should I ever worry about that Jesus? I don't see Him very clearly. And the world not only is casual and indifferent, but is now quite intolerant about Jesus. Because they will magnify our attitudes toward the Lord. We've talked about it for several weeks now. Catherine Booth, in the heyday of revival at the Salvation Army, went from church to church to see if she could hear, are there burning words? Words hot, fire hot, something inside burning for God, who is in love with Him, who loves Him, who is passionate about Him, who says He's everything. He's preeminent. He's the Creator. He's the Son of God. He's the only one you need. Come on, get saved by the blood of the Lamb. He did it all for you and me.
Amen.
That's nothing to be casual or indifferent about. Amen? He's first. He's supreme. He's everything. Paul is literally snapping back their attention to truth at the church at Colossae, because all these other false teachers were walking around saying, He's not enough. You need other things. You need mystical knowledge. You need Gnosticism. You need other philosophies. And you need other intermediaries to take you to God. Wrong teaching literally leads to no confidence. An insecure foundation, a shaky foundation. And therefore, there's no way to stand against the wiles of the devil and the spirit of the age that comes against you or comes against the church. How many know He's not just a rock? He's the whole foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's everything there is. Church, Scripture shows us that we're to know who it is we worship. When we sing these songs this morning, oh God, how great You are. How great thou art. We need to know who we're singing about and why he's so important and what he's done. And otherwise, these songs just become rote and things we've sung for years. Oh, he's going to do another ditty. Oh, how great thou art. You're everything, Lord. We need to dial in, tune in, drill down whatever you want to say about in whom we have believed about our Jesus. We need our hearts to be hot toward him and on fire. Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus is the fullness of God. Colossians 1, look please at verse 19. Colossians 1, I've only actually quoted up here 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Say that with me. Please read that with me. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now the Greek word, I want you to hang in there with me. Give me another 10 minutes and we'll wrap. The fullness, the Greek word is pleroma. Say it with me. Pleroma. One more time. Pleroma. And it means the repletion, the completion, copiousness. Now stick with me. In Philippians, the Bible tells us that Christ emptied himself, became a servant, made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself, church, of the glory that he had with the Father. He did not empty himself of his deity. Come on. He did not empty himself of his deity. Jesus was God when he was on earth. The pleroma, the scripture says, the fullness of God dwells in him. When Jesus was here on earth, he wasn't part God. He was fully God and fully man. He was 100% God and 100% man. Boy, this is sometimes, Kevin, that's just thick. What it means is he was God and you can thank God. You can take that to the bank. Because if you make him partial, he's not enough for the need you have. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. One of the most powerful descriptions of Jesus' deity in the New Testament is here. I'm going to read Colossians 2, verse 9 in a moment, but let me just quickly do a little summary here for you. Our Jesus, our Savior, is in absolutely no way deficient, either in wisdom, in power, or in grace to redeem and save us. There is nothing else you have to do in addition to Jesus to be saved. There's nothing Jesus isn't qualified to do. There's nothing else we need to enable us to do what the church needs to do. It's all in him. There is no trouble, no situation, no danger that you will face that Jesus will not walk that road with you. Do you understand, church? There is no complication, nothing too complex that Jesus can't help solve. There is no time when Jesus is not with you, when you've surrendered your life to him, there is no complication in your life that he is not there to help you with. Do you get it?
Yes.
You know, I recognize that I'm really laboring to get the point across, and you might look at me and say, this is stupid, this is easy. This truth will help you stand, or if you reject this truth, you will fall. And Paul wrote from a Roman jail, possibly some of the last days of his life, possibly a year or two before he died, because it was so important. He was so jealous that the Colossian people not have their faith stolen away that he said, I've got to help you get this. You've got to understand the foundation of your faith so you can stand strong. And church, turn to each other and say, he is always with you. No matter what your trouble is. No matter what your trouble is, I'm here to tell you this morning, suicide is never your answer. Jesus is right here for you. Suicide is never an answer. Jesus is here. There's no trouble that Jesus won't walk in it with you. You look at me and you say, Pastor Kev, I've got issues that I'm not even talking about. It's okay, Jesus knows them. And maybe in this life, we may not always see an instant healing or a deliverance from the turmoil. We might have problems, but what we have is a Savior and a Lord who will walk through them with us. Remember, the men in the fiery furnace said, oh, King, we won't bow down to you. Our God will deliver us. But, oh, remember? By the way, if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to you. You don't need anybody else besides Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 9, out of several translations. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. New Living, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Message. Everything of God, this is cool, watch this. Everything of God gets expressed in him. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. New American, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Every heresy virtually begins and ends with the detraction of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Church, he did this for you and for me. He did it for us. He didn't want us shaken from the truth. So we continue. I just want to finish with a little story I've shared with some of you who know my background. And maybe it parallels some of what you've experienced. When I was six, I'm the youngest of three boys. And when I was six, my mother and my oldest brother sat my brother, other brother and I down and said, your father is not coming home anymore. And he's leaving our family. The first words out of my mouth, if I'd been a little bit older, it might have been considerably different. But the first words out of my mouth as a six-year-old boy, when my mother and my oldest brother said, your father is not coming home, without a beat being skipped, I said, what did I do wrong? What did I do? So Dad didn't want to be with me and us anymore. I didn't talk to my real father for 22 years. When I got married, I had a very close stepfather who came on the scene, thankfully, when I was 10. If he hadn't, I might not be here this morning. So he was a good man, and I remember my Gail turning to me saying, now, do you want to send a wedding invitation to your father? I said, well, I've only got one. Years later, 15 years later, the Lord brought dramatic healing between my real father and me. But what I'm here to tell you is the first words, the first thought was, what I do wrong? I'm not enough. I'm not sufficient enough to earn my father's love. I'm not good enough to keep my family together. It's my fault. I must have done something to cause this to fall apart. I have no way of keeping it together. There's nothing I can do. And Jesus says, that's right. There's nothing you can do. I did it, he says. And it doesn't matter, because where there's hurt and there's emptiness, and there's failure, and there's trauma, and there's heartache, Jesus said, I'm here. And when you fail, I pick you up. And when you sin, I forgive. And I'm the God who went to the cross and did it for you, don't you ever let anybody steal it away from your heart. I'm the God who died, was buried, and rose again. I'm the God who sees and knows your hurt. And I'm the God who heals you. And you walk with me every day. And someday, when this life is o'er, I'll bring you to myself. And this family will never break apart again. Because I am God, Jesus says. Amen? Aren't you glad Jesus is God? Aren't you glad Jesus is the Creator? The one who loves you, sees you, knows you, and bears you up in His arms. Aren't you glad, church? Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? Church, He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Say it with me. He alone is worthy. Come on, boom it out. He alone is worthy. Turn to each other and share for a couple of moments. Just a quick 30 seconds. Share with each other. What did Jesus say to your heart this morning about Him being worthy in your life? Go ahead. Share with each other. Find somebody. Quick. Share it with each other. What does it mean to you that He's worthy? He's enough. He's everything. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You're the God who's done it all and done it all so well. Man, I don't know why we keep trying in our own strength sometimes because we just don't do it as well. You do everything well. And we've come to worship you this morning. We love you, Lord. And thank you for your grace and mercy to our lives. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus in this same way, I urge you, surrender to Him if you haven't done it already. If you have, let the cobwebs of truth be blown away and the reality of the truth be reestablished in your heart and mind. He's good, isn't He? Yeah. Come on, church, He's good, isn't He? Father, I pray for your people this morning that as they go from this place, we will all go with such a gratitude that fills our hearts to overflowing. That Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you've done it all. You are the Creator, the God who heals, who delivers, who brings life and truth and light when we're in darkness. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. We've come here this morning to have our lives changed. And we believe your Spirit has worked in us. And as we go from this place, we leave here more like you than ever before. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Say that with me. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please raise your hands for the blessing. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. I'm going to read one more. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Celebrate the Lord together in Jesus' name. Bye-bye, God. Bless you. Have a great day.